we're just tired. We're just worn out. We're just weary. Have you heard that too? Have you felt it, more importantly? We are going through a taxing time. And that taxing time will drain our energy level, and we will end up being exhausted. We will end up feeling tired. We will end up feeling overburdened. We will end up feeling weary, but for one thing. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus speaks to the weary, and I'll give you the subject at this point because I want to flow from there forward into what I have to say. The subject for today's message is, Jesus is a rest for a weary world. Jesus is rest for a weary world. Couple that with the thoughts that I just presented to you. And now read with me Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where we have for you an answer from God through his holy word about what to do about your weariness. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So does the word weary ever describe the way that you feel? Do you ever feel like you have reached the end of your rope and there simply isn't enough rope left for you to tie a knot in to help you to hold on? Well, see, these are the people. You are the person that Jesus is addressing in these verses. See, this chapter deals with the doubt of John the Baptist in verses 1 through 6. There's doubt. These verses deal with the hypocrisy of religious leaders in verses 7 through 19. And the wickedness of the cities where Jesus had been preaching in verses 20 through 24. See, he's been surrounded by those who are weary, either with their vain efforts in religion or their equally vain struggles against sin. You see, we got a world that's real religious. Don't confuse religion with righteousness, folks. We got people who want to be right. But there's all of these different varieties of and opinions that's offered up, and people struggle trying to be right, not just religious. And I want to say to you today, don't worry about being religious. Just be righteous. It is a struggle that's going on. See, these people who need to know that there is a haven of rest, a place where they can run and find rest from the labors of their souls. Our souls are taxed. Sin's running rampant. We shake our heads at the things that we see happening and say, how in the world could that happen? How could a person bring themselves to do something like that? And in that, we get tired. We get tired of hearing about people's inhumanities toward each other. How people mistreat other people. And if your heart is shaped up like God wants it to be, you're supposed to be tired of that. You're not supposed to get used to that. You're not supposed to let that become a part of who you are. We are supposed to naturally not mix with that kind of thing. Well, my desire today is to tell you that there is still a haven of rest for people of God that is in the name of Jesus. Our rest is in Jesus. Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." If you're one of those who is weary and heavy laden, allow me to give you some hope today from the Word of God. Allow me to point you to the haven of rest. There are two basic areas that I want to talk to you about where the people of God can find rest. First, there's rest in salvation. folks, y'all see people out here partying and doing everything they want to do, everything they're big enough to do, everything they're old enough to do, and we think they're having a good time. Folks, they're not having a good time. They're struggling. There's no rest in that. You don't wake up in the morning feeling like you've accomplished something. You don't wake up in the morning feeling like you're more secure than you were when you laid down. You need a rest that comes from knowing that you are saved. It is a burden. It is burdensome for you to walk around each day knowing that if something happened to you, that eternity is in the balance and that you might be headed in the wrong direction. It is so peaceful and calm and resting to wake up and say, whatever happens, I'm God's child, and he's going to take care of me. There is rest in salvation. So the salvation that I'm talking about, we can see the call in this passage that we read. In these verses, we can see that there's an invitation for individuals to come to Jesus. Come unto me. In him alone can one find salvation for their souls. There is no other place to find saving grace than in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if you're tired of struggling with the situation where salvation's at stake, Jesus has safety for us. He has rest for us. Y'all remember what it says over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12? In Acts 4 and 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is our rest. And so the frustration that we feel is because, have you ever felt like you were tired and you couldn't get rested? Have been that tired? Well, you see, the frustration comes when you wake up, and I've been there, when you wake up and you feel like you need maybe 8-10 more hours worth of sleep, and you just slept for 8 or 10 hours. You slept and you didn't wake up rested. See, there's something in that that's frustrating, but Jesus gives us that rest, and there is none other name under the heaven whereby we can find that rest. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says this about that. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the one that can give us the salvation, the peace, and the rest that comes through salvation. We find it through Jesus. We see the people who need the rest, the candidates for rest, if you will. See, notice the call of the Lord is extended to a particular group. This group is ever inclusive rather than exclusive. He includes everybody. The group that Jesus is calling unto himself is all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that's anyone. That's anyone that's anywhere. That's anyone that's anywhere, anytime. Jesus is offering that invitation to those who hear the invitation that comes from the Son of God. And those who hear that invitation can find God. They can find the peace that they need through salvation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. See, it's not withheld from you. It's not something that's out of your reach. It's not something that's too hard to acquire. Come freely to the throne of God for the rest that we need. Thank God he said all. If there had been any condition placed on whosoever, that would probably cause some problems for all of us, you and me. But he said all. He called out to those who labor and were heavy laden. This word labor refers to those who are absolutely worn out from effort, while the word heavy laden calls to mind those who have been pressed down by a great weight. The reference here is to those who are struggling with sin and to those who are laboring under bondage of religion and vain attempts to be self-righteous. So Jesus did it for us, y'all. Some people ask, you know, I gotta make my way. Jesus is the way. He already made the way. All you got to do is walk in the way. All you have to do is discover what the way is and stay in it. See, in other words, he's calling out to all those who are trying to good their way into heaven. You know, on your best day, your righteousness is filthy rags. When you do the very best you can, the most you can, all you can, you still have not indebted God, obligated God to save you. It takes finding a way that's beyond that. The only way that will ever be accomplished in this life is through the pure grace of God. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So you can't work it, work into it. You can't obligate God. You can't earn it. All you can do is surrender to God, and he'll give it to you. See, this word, this term, washing and regeneration, that's a marvelous term. It's a miraculous term because I don't know if you've ever taken time to look at all your sins, your life. Has anybody in here beside me looked back and just dropped your head in shame? Knowing that our lives were filthy and there's so many things we did wrong. And we carry that guilt with us, knowing that we did it and we are guilty of it and we deserve whatever recompense goes along with it. But what happens is that God has fixed it so that that can be washed away. I tell you what, for those we old country boys and country people who used to work out in the fields or wherever and come home and our clothes filthy to the point that you don't almost recognize what kind of clothes they are, then somebody grabs them and put them in that old washing machine to go back and forth like that, and then you rinse them and it go back and you run it through that wringer and you hang them out on the line and they don't even look like the same clothes no more. Know what I'm talking about? Anybody? You have to be kind of old to get that word picture. But for any of us who get that picture, that's what our lives were. That's what our lives are about. We spend our time messing our lives up, and then God washes them out and cleans it up, and he hangs it up, and it doesn't look like we got into anything at all. That's the blessing of the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, in this particular passage, we see a covenant that was made by God. A covenant is a special kind of promise. It's an agreement between two people to maintain a status. We have different things. We have promises. We have contracts. This is a covenant. See, Jesus promises all those who come to him that he would give them rest. He promises that. This word speaks of quietness and calmness and refreshment. That's what we're talking about. That's what we all want. We want an escape from the confusion and the mess and let me use this word, vicissitudes, because I can't think of a better one, but that's a fancy word to say just a general everyday mess of life. We need rest from that. He promises to allow them to rest from their labors and their attempt to be self-righteous. And so he promises to save us freely and fully. What a blessing this thought is. When we grasp the truth, we come to understand that when we come to Jesus for salvation, we truly are given rest. A rest that manifests itself in some very unique and special ways. We're given rest through peace with God. Through peace with God. God wants us to be right. Our sins never are received by God with some kind of apathetic attitude. It always matters. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we receive peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when God is on your side, the one I described a little earlier, when you're in, on peaceful terms with him, I remember being on a funeral, and it was a guy that I grew up with, and we lost track of each other, and the family asked me to speak. They have a few words of comfort, and I said, okay, I need to ask you something. Was he on friendly terms with God when he died? That mattered. It mattered to what I was going to say, and it mattered to how I was going to say it to him. Was he on peaceful terms with God? Folks, we need to be on peaceful terms with God. We need to be, God needs to be our friend, and we need to be God's friend. And you can't be God's friend if you're choosing sin over him. So we need to be on peaceful terms. And Jesus offers us peace with God. Through him, we're given rest from our attempts to please God. We're given calmness concerning our salvation. We're given quietness about our future. We're given refreshment for our journey. You see, we're on a journey. My journey is way on up the road. Some of them are just starting. Some of y'all are just starting. Some of y'all about midway. But we're on a journey. We need refreshment. Yeah. Anybody? I tell you what. I've driven out to Oklahoma like we did last week on a few occasions now. And it ain't getting no shorter. It is not getting any shorter. It's 650 miles. It's going to take you 9.5, 10 hours any way you cut it. And sitting in a car driving for that long, it is tiring. And so when I got home, what I wanted to do was be refreshed. I just wanted to have the burden of that trip off of me and to go into my normal situation where life happens. But Jesus says, that the Bible rather says this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The journey that we're on as Christians isn't a wearying journey, because a lot of the stuff we wrestle with is taken care of already automatically by God, and it's not our issue. Where we run into problems, where we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy, we try to fix stuff that is not our business. All we have to do, all we need to do is fix ourselves, and God will fix the other stuff. But we try to fix up what we mess up. And that takes energy. And it takes time. And it frustrates you. And it sucks the life out of you. Follow God. He'll take care of all the other stuff. He will give you rest. See, these are glorious promises that we've been given by the Savior. Thank God there's rest for the soul. And so now allow me to share with you that there is also rest for you, the journeyer, the sojourner. We've talked about the rest of salvation. Now let's talk a little bit about the rest of satisfaction. See, there is a rest of satisfaction. Satisfaction is found in service. What identifies you? What do you identify with? When we have a job, when we do something and we do it well and it comes out well, don't you feel kind of good? Don't you feel good when your task has been done and it's done to the best that you could do it? And people recognize that it's high-quality stuff, the satisfaction in accomplishing those kind of things. See, Jesus, in this text that we're using today, he moves immediately from the picture of rest in verse 28 to the idea of work in verse 29. He does so by referring to the yoke. Now, you have to know what a yoke is, and I think most of you do, so we're not going to go into a great explanation on that, but the yoke was a wooden instrument that was used to connect the ox and the burden that the ox was expected to pull. And so apparently Jesus has the idea that his followers are expected to serve him in some fashion. Folks, he does not need hood ornaments or couch potatoes. He needs somebody that's going to do some things for him, because he does everything for us. This is one of the reasons preachers remind folks about faithfulness and duty. See, there's far more to being a Christian than just making a profession of faith. There'll be many who will have made professions of faith, but who will still die and go to hell. You see, Genuine salvation always manifests itself in obedience and faithful works. When you're a Christian, you don't want to keep that to yourself. You want to share that. You want to grow that. You want that to become the predominant feature of your life. That's a part of the ways that you serve. Therefore, when a believer yields his or her life to the Lord in service, they find that they'll become truly satisfied in their hearts and in their souls. Jesus does make a difference, and that difference should always be lived out. He makes a difference in our lives, and it should show up when we live. And so I want to tell you this when it comes to rest. And satisfaction that gives us rest. There's satisfaction in surrendering. In surrendering. See, notice what Jesus commanded in the verse. He said, come. Then he said, take. Then he said, learn. See, all of these words are verbs. They're words that anticipate some kind of action on the part of the hearer. Their words were given by the Lord to elicit a response from every person who heard these words. Come, take, learn. See, we talk about surrender, but what do we mean? See, surrender is defined as to yield to the power, control, or the possession of another upon a compulsion or a demand. That's how we picture it. But surrender is different than that. To a person, the personal pronouns that are used when it comes to this verse is my, me, and I. Jesus is referring to himself as the one to whom we should surrender. He's the person under whose absolute control we place ourselves. And so why should we do this? Because he tells us that we can, because he is meek and lowly in heart. This sets Jesus apart from all the other masters, people like Pharaoh and others who were mean and cruel. And then I want you also to pay attention to the word learn. This is the same word from which we get the word disciple that Jesus is asking you and me to do when we surrender to him. What he's asking us to do is to become his disciple. And so our question would be, how do we accomplish this? Well, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 said, then said Jesus unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cost for you to be a disciple is to deny yourself. Why? Because your flesh wants something different than the Lord wants for you. Your appetite drives you towards certain things, and your spirit drives you in the opposite direction, and you're going to follow one or the other. Which one will you follow? The one that you surrender to. And we need to surrender our souls to God. It's apparent that Jesus expects us to get into the yoke. And as I stated earlier, the yoke was a wooden instrument that was placed around the neck of the ox. And when it was attached to the plow, the wagon, or whatever burden he needed to move. See, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. See, Jesus said that his yoke was easy. What does that mean? Is he saying that life lived under his control will be easy and perfect? No. You see, each yoke was carved in such a way that it fit perfectly on the shoulders of that particular ox. Each yoke was different from the other because it was designed for that particular ox. What his will for our lives is, we can be confident that he has perfectly and individually designed our yoke for us. So whatever our burden is, he's prepared us. He's prepared it so that it will fit. When we surrender to his will, we can be absolutely sure that he will allow nothing to harm us. You say, well, I know a lot of Christians who suffer. I'll explain that in a minute. But for every burden we're called upon to pull, he's placed there for our good. Any burden that we have, he has put it there by design. Anybody remember Romans 8:28? All things work together for good for them that love the Lord, the called according to his purpose. Yes, you'll have hard times, but that hard time will make you better. It'll make you stronger when you do it in the Lord and for the Lord. When we don't fight the yoke, when we take the burden that we're given and we carry it with the intentions of arriving at the place that Jesus wants us to be, then our work won't be in vain. We will accomplish something. Will have that satisfaction. See? And so, brothers and sisters, I am so thankful that there's a rest of haven for the soul of us sojourners today. For what we're going through, for all that we're facing, for all that you deal with, COVID has a way of separating us and then giving us our own set of problems, doesn't it? And we all have to deal with it. Can't ignore them. Well, for whatever we go through, we have been provided a means. Do you need to anchor yourself in that haven today and find genuine rest for your soul and your spirit? I said all that to get to that question. Everything that I've talked to you about today, what I want to do is end up with a solution to offer to you. Do you want to end up in a place of rest? If so, then all you need to do is come to Jesus. Let him speak peace into your soul today. Why? Because he cares for you. And he is willing to show you how much he cares. Brothers and sisters, I'm like you. At one point in time, I just wondered how much of a role Jesus did want to, God wanted to play in my life. If he guided me for a while and then he let me float on by myself and see how well I could do on my own, but I found out that was never the case, that he was always there. And that when I went through my hardest times, it was because I decided on taking that path. When I went through the toughest times of my life was because I had a choice. And I made a choice all by myself without asking God to help me make that choice. But Jesus says, I love you even though you mess up. Even though you make the wrong choices sometimes. Even though you get into stuff that I warned you beforehand that you shouldn't get in. We older parents, y'all ever tell your kid, don't do this or you get in trouble and they end up doing it. And what do you feel like then? You want to spank them. Yeah, you want to tan their little hide. I told you not. In fact, that's our conversation when we're whipping them. I told you not to. Anybody ever had a talking whipping? You just hope they don't feel too talkative that day. Because they will talk you. Oh, that's the way we handle it. But God looks at us with an eye of sympathy. He said, I know. I told you weren't going not to do it, and I knew you were going to do it even when I told you. But I still love you. And I want to put you right back with me where you belong. I want you to come unto me. Come here and let me hug you. Come here and let me take away your pain. Come here and let me help undo what you did to yourself. That's the kind of God we got. I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful for him. And if you don't have your relationship with him to that point right now, you're missing out. And I want to tell you, you can fix it. You can fix it today. All you need to do is come to him, surrender to him, make your mind up that, okay, God, I've followed my way long enough. I'm going to follow you now. I'm going to turn loose all of my stubbornness, all the things that I feel that I figured out. Because y'all know every time I figure things out, I weaken the world. You know, I bring something bad about. I'm going to surrender to your will, and I'm going to let your will guide my life. I'm going to do what you want me to do, and I'm going to take the results as a result at the end of it. And I believe that if we can develop that attitude that Job had, when Job said, I will trust him though he slays me. He's telling me that he knew that even if God decided to take his life, that was the best thing for him because God had something better for him. God don't ever take you out of something and put you somewhere worse. He always take you, when you follow him, take you from one situation and put you somewhere better. That's the way God is. That's because of his love. And so if you're still struggling and you need to be freed, you need rest, we're gonna present that opportunity right now. You see, you come to God by hearing the word. That's how you begin to develop a faith, like our conversation today. You come believing in him, knowing that no matter what happens, God is in it and he can deliver you from whatever situation. He is God. And we need to have faith in him. That's the way we please him. Then we need to come to him once we recognize that, repenting of our sins, because we know that our sins are what separate us from God. And we don't want to be separated from God. So tell God, I don't want to do this anymore. That's repentance. Then we confess Jesus Christ to be God's son. He is God's son. And only because he was God's son was his blood appropriate for the washing away of our sins, as many as we had. He washed them all away. So we call him God's son, and we recognize that, and we confess that. And then once we confess him, we put him on in baptism for the remission of sin. It's not just a vain, empty act. It's a true process. It's something we go through so that God can turn us from that old raggedy person that we were into a bright, shining new creature. We arise from that watery grave of baptism new, without any of our sins charged to us anymore. What a wonderful thing God has provided for us. And if you are a member of the church and you've not lived as you should, recognize that and understand that any sin that you do separates you from God. Ask God to forgive you, and he anxiously looks for an opportunity to forgive you, but it comes only after you ask him. Repent. We'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you. And then if you have other concerns, life is full of problems. Let's carry those to God together. Let's pray together. I love hearing you pray for me, and I love praying for you, and I believe that God hears the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation, we're going to ask you to respond at this time as we stand and sing our invitation.